and try to live. And try to live. And try to live, yeah. Mishnah says in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Al karchach ata chayv, al karchach ata meis. Against your will, you're nolad. Against your will, you're born. Against your will, you die. We never were asked if we wanted to play this game, and we're not given a choice when we choose to sub out of the game. Hashem decides when He throws us in and when He pulls us out. And our job is just to try to the best of our ability, to try a little bit, to be a ma'amin that Hashem knows what He's doing. So, Chaver, let's learn a little bit. Our learning should be Le'iloi Nishmas, those holy Jews who lost their lives, and it should be for Refuah Shleima, for those who are still recovering from their injuries. And it should be a tefillah to Hashem that Klal Yisrael should never know such crazy and strange tragedies ever again. Okay, I want to share with you a piece to start from the Sefer Mishnah Sachir. The Mishnah Sachir is Rav Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem should avenge his blood. And I often feel that when really horrific things like this happen, we have to turn to the teachings and the writings of tzaddikim who suffered, because they have more, I feel like they have more rishus to talk. So Rav Teichtel, unfortunately, died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. The Mishnah Sachir is the name of his writings on in Halacha. They published his amazing, amazing teachings on Chumash and on the Mo'adim. He's the author of the Eima Banim Smecha, where he describes his transformation. Rav Josh, we're so happy that you're back with us today. So good to see you. I get a lot of chizik just seeing your smiling face. So Rav Teichtel Zatzal, has a piece in Parshas Miketz, the end of Parshas Miketz, and I think you'll get a lot of chizik from this piece. He quotes a medrash, a very strange medrash. The medrash says, Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi. He said the following: Min ani shel baser v'dam, ato lo mer ani shel l'kadosh baruch hu. From the ani, from the way that a human being once said ani, we can learn about the power of the ani of Hashem. What does that mean? Ma ani shel baser v'dam, al yidei she'amar paro harasha liyosef ani paro. When Paro says, as Yosef interprets the dreams, and Paro then says, I am Paro, and they're trying to decide who should fill this position. Yosef predicted this famine, and we need someone to organize the people and to provide for the sustenance of the country and by extension the world. Who should do such a thing? Paro says, Ani Paro, I'm the balabas here, I'm in charge, and I think that Yosef himself would be good for the job. So says the Medrash, a funny thing. From the Ani Paro, Yosef is given all of this amazing kavod. He goes from being a slave sitting in a dungeon to being the Mishnah Lamelech, the second in command. So from an Ani Paro, from Paro saying two words, Ani Paro, Hayelo Kola Kavod Hazeh, L'kishayavo Ani Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem says Ani, like the Navi Yeshayah says, Ani Asisi, I made the world, V'Ani Esa, and I will carry, and I will direct the world, I will guide the world. Al achas kama v'kama. If Ani Paro could make such a difference in the life of Yosef, imagine what Ani Esa or Ani Asisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ani, can do for us. So ask Rav Teichtel, I don't really understand. It's a nice idea, but do I really need the Ani Paro to learn that Hashem's Ani, Hashem, is worth something? V'hu pela v'tzara chavan. We need to understand that. V'chi zeh higdil es Yosef, Masha Amar Paro, Ani Paro. Do we really believe that what? That because Paro says Ani Paro, that's why Yosef has his power? Halo Abdurab, Zeh Hikdin Oso Shu Gadlami Menu. Well, Yosef needs a Haskama from Paro? And more than that, Hashem needs a Haskama from Paro? Oh, from the fact that Paro's Ani is powerful, so Hashem's Ani. Why do I need to even compare God to Paro? Why do I need to say that Yosef's power came from Paro? Yosef's power came from Hashem. Hashem wanted Yosef to be Mishnah LeMelech. So what exactly is Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin in the name of Rabbi Levi telling us? So says Rav Teichtel, an amazing, amazing insight. He writes here at the end of Parshas Miketz, Rashi tells us that there was a rule in Mitzrayim. The rule in Mitzrayim is that an Eved al Yimloch, that an Eved, that a slave, that an Eved is not able to Mitzrayim. It was part of Nimusei Mitzrayim. Part of the legal system of Mitzrayim is you can't go from being an Eved to be part of the royal class. It's not possible. Happens to be amazing. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that if you look in Pirkei Avos, in the beginning when it goes through the different pairs of the Zugos, the Nasi and the Av Basin, so we have Shmaya v'Avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion were both converts, and yet they rose to the highest ranks of Jewish society in terms of Jewish leadership. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his Peiros and Pirkei Avos, you see that amongst the Jewish people, we do create opportunities for someone who's even coming, you know, so to speak, from the outside to rise to the highest ranks of Jewish society. Again, I can't become a Kohen Gadol if I'm not a Kohen. There obviously are limitations, right? But in Paro, if you were an Eved, you could never become a member of the royal class. You could never become a Melech. And Yosef goes from being an Eved in a dungeon, a despised, lowly, rejected Jew, to being Mishnah LeMelech. How is that possible? It's against the rules. V'im kein bevadai be'eis shiratza Paro laham lechas Yosef. There's no question, says Rav Teichtal, that when Paro wanted to appoint Yosef, to give him all of that authority, bevadai hayu lo menagdim al zeh. There's no question there was opposition to this. Probably the head of the Supreme Court in Mitzrayim pulled the big books off the shelf and said, Paro, you're not allowed to do this. This is against the rules. This is a violation. And he cited the rule, the passage in the law books, in the legal system of Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to appoint an Eved to a position of royalty. So people who were well-versed in the laws of Mitzrayim probably opposed it. Val zeh hishiv Paro. But you know what Paro said? Paro said, it's true, there are rules on the books, but there's something that trumps all the rules in the world. You know what it is? Ani Paro. Don't mess with me, I'm Paro. When I decide that Yosef is Mishnah LaMelech, I don't really care what the rule books say. I don't care how it ought to be, or how you expect it to be, or how even the rules of the game are meant to be played. When I say Ani Paro, uvi'adi la'asos masha b'ritzoni, I do whatever I want. And therefore, says Rav Teichtel, v'efshar l'chavin b'zeh masha kosav Rashi al Ani Paro. That's exactly what Rashi is telling us in these words, Ani Paro. She'esh yecholes b'yadi ligzor gezera al malchusi, v'ani gozer shelo yerim. I am able to make new decrees over my kingdom. And I decree that no one should raise their hand to me. Because when Paro said, Yosef is Mishnah l'melech, people raised their hand. They said, Paro, we have a kasha. We have a question on that. It's against the rules. Paro says, new rules. Don't ask questions on me. So therefore, now we start to understand al achas kama v'kama. Says Rav Teichtel, and again, a tzaddik who lost his life al kiddush Hashem has a right to say it in a stronger way. Says Rav Teichtel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ani Hashem, a million times more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. Sometimes it's a gezeira kasha. It's an impossibly difficult gezeira, like the horrible tragedy that just took place. And sometimes it's a geula. You don't think there was opposition to Hashem when he decided to pick Klal Yisrael? There was opposition below, there was opposition above. V'nei yadua be'eis sherotza Hashem yisparach lasos ezi yeshua li Yisrael. When Hashem tries to save Klal Yisrael, tamid yesh ezi mekatreg shemekatreg al Yisrael. There's always opposition. There's opposition. When we left Mitzrayim, when we're standing by the Yam Suf, what was happening in Shemayim? The Satan, the Sar Shalayam, was screaming, Halalu v'halalu. Anyone know what that means? Halalu v'halalu? He was saying, the angels in Shemayim were maligning Klal Yisrael and saying, What? How can you pick Klal Yisrael? Halalu ovdei avodah zara v'halalu ovdei avodah zara. The Jews are just as bad as the Egyptians. They worship avodah zara and they worship avodah zara. The Jews are just as bad. How can you take them out? Hashem, where's your sense of justice? Where's your sense of melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat? But Rabbi Nachman points out in Likutei Moharan, he says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves tzedakah and mishpat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also loves Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Nachman quotes a passage in the Zohar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love of Klal Yisrael is more than his love of tzedakah and mishpat. Which means that Hashem will break the rules for us. The same way that Paro, Lahavdil, is able to break the rules in his country, Al Achas Kam Vakama, when Hashem decides I'm making new rules, he's allowed to do that. Sometimes the new rules are that Klal Yisrael suffer in a way that doesn't seem fair. And sometimes the new rules is a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings a geula, even when we're not worthy. So look at these words. Aval kisherotza Hashem yisbarach lo shia es Yisrael. Eino mashkiach al makatrigim klal v'chlal. When Hashem decides, I want to take Klal Yisrael out of Galus, whether we're ready or not, Hashem says, I'm doing what I want. If Paro can do what he wants, I can certainly do what I want. If Paro didn't have to listen to his opposition, I certainly don't have to listen to my opposition. So, Chevra, I shared this piece of Torah at Shal Shudas on Shabbos, and I'm going to leave out some of the more painful things. I don't want to say them again. Some of the more painful ideas that I shared at that time. I don't want to repeat them now. But I think this idea, on the one hand, again, it reminds us of the painful need to accept Kabbalas Yisurin, to accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu's decrees. When you say, "But Hashem, I don't understand. How does this fit into your love for us? How does this fit into the rules that you've outlined for us in Torah and Chazal and in the Sfarim HaKadoshim? How does such a horrific thing happen? How could it be that in Meiron, the place that is supposed to be the bittel of the Avelos, it turns into a base Avel for all of Klal Yisrael? How is that possible? It goes against every Torah that we could possibly say about Lag BaOmer. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtok, you have to be quiet. You don't understand how I run the world. But Rav Teichtel is telling us the same thing is true in the positive sense. We also don't understand why Hashem saves us sometimes when we don't deserve to be saved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm there every step of the way. And he ends by quoting the pasuk, Anochi eiredimcha mitzrayim, va'anochi alcha gamalo. Anochi, I went down to you to Mitzrayim, and I will also come up with you from Mitzrayim. That even if you're not kedai, Ratzalomar af l'rabos, afim eincha kedai, even if it doesn't make sense to you why, if Hashem loves us so much, we suffered in Mitzrayim, and it doesn't make sense to us why Hashem chose us when we were on the lowest level in Mitzrayim. But we don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to explain things. We just need Hashem to provide us with that Yeshua. Hashem, you provided us with suffering that we don't understand, so now we ask you to provide us with a salvation that we also don't understand, that we're not really worthy of. Chevra, I mentioned on Shabbos that one of the things that I'm struggling to wrap my head around, and again, I'm saying I'm struggling from within Torah, right? Because again, there's a part of me that's just has nothing to say. Vayudam Aaron. I think that's the ultimate response. Right? But as Jews who learn Torah, who are asked to think about Torah, I turned 40 this past Shabbos, and the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that at the age of 40 you reach a level of Bina, a level of deeper understanding. A level of being able to be Maven Davar Mitoch Davar, to extract one thing from another thing. But it also says in Pirkei Avos this past Shabbos, Ve'al Binascha Al Tisha'ein. Don't rely on your Bina. Don't rely on your understanding of things. So, Chevra, I wanted to be very, very clear. I'm not explaining anything. I'm not trying to explain anything. I'm not offering explanations. Right now, more than anything, I just feel the pain of Klal Yisrael and Befrat of a particular family in our neighborhood who's going through unbearable, impossible pain right now that you can't even begin to wrap your head around. But one of the things that makes, again, this tragedy in particular so confusing, again, from a Torah perspective, is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the great protectors of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the great defenders of the Jewish people. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is from that Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, right, that knows how to see beyond the surface. And we're stuck right now. We're not able to understand. We don't understand. How is it that the schus of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't serve as a protection for Klal Yisrael? So I want to share with you a story about the Maggid of Mezrich, about a simple Yid and his wife who once came to the Maggid of Mezrich. This story is told in several different Nuschaos. This is one version, as it appears in a little sefer called Biyom Shenolad HaBaal Shem Tov Nisraf HaGehenem. On the day the Baal Shem Tov was born, hell burnt up. It's a little sefer of Chassidus Shemaislach. So he tells the story that this fellow came with his rebbetzin to the Maggid of Mezrich, and they asked for a bracha that they should be zocher to have children. And the Maggid said to them, I'll give you a bracha on condition that you pay me 52 golden coins. Nun beis zehuvim, gematria ben. You want to have a ben? You want to have a son? So you need to give me 52 gold coins and I'll give you a bracha. So the fellow was very surprised. That's a lot of money. Expect me to pay so much? I can offer you 10 gold coins. The fellow says, the Maggid of Mezrich says to the fellow, no, 52 gold coins or no bracha. He's very taken aback by this. The Rebbe doesn't appreciate my wife and I have been going through so much pain, the pain of infertility, so many years without a child. All I ask for is a bracha, and the Rebbe's charging us an exorbitant sum. So the fellow figures, okay, you know, the Rebbe has this cheshbon, 52, is gematria ben, okay. So he takes his money to the marketplace, and he exchanges it for 52 matbeos shel nechoshes. He doesn't have 52 gold coins. He figures, I'll get 52 coins of nechoshes. As long as I have 52 pieces, you know. It doesn't matter if it's gold or if it's silver, if it's bronze, if it's copper, whatever it is. So he comes back with 52 smaller coins, and he places it on the table, and he says, here you go, Rebbe, 52 coins. So the Rebbe looks at him, and he says, 52 coins? I said 52 gold coins. These are not golden coins. You imagine? And this poor fellow is sitting there looking at the Magid of Mezrich, the Heilige Mezrich Magid, Zechuso Yigen Aleinu, and he can't, I don't understand. Rebbe, I don't have that kind of money. And he says, Ein kan nun be zehuvim. You don't have 52 gold coins. Ve'eini yoyred me'asukum. And I'm not lowering the price. You get 52 gold coins if you want a bracha, or you can pack your bags and get lost. I'm sure the Magid didn't say it like that, but that's probably how the fellow felt. So this little villager, this little farmer, he turns to his rabbitson and he says the following. He says to his rabbitson, Nu, kichias ha-kesef me'al ha-shulchan. Let's take our money off the table. We don't need the Magid of Mezrich's bracha. Hashem Yizbarach Yazer Lanu B'li HaMagid. Forget this Rebbe. Hashem is going to help us. We don't need the help of the Magid. Take Afniya HaMagid B'Simcha. When the Magid heard the man say to his Rebbetzin, we don't need the Magid. All we need is Hashem. The Magid put a big smile on his face. And the Magid of Mezrich said to this very saddened couple, Alzeh Einai Nesuos. That's exactly what my eyes were looking towards, were hoping for. I wanted you to realize that it's not about me, it's about the Rabbono Sholem. V'divrei ha-kafri nishmo b'shamayim u'pol sh'yeh lo ben zachar. And the Magid says to him, oh, now you get it. Now you understand that the tzaddikim, whether it's the Magid of Mezrich or whether it's Rishon Bar Yochai, they're just helpers to help a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in this world. But really, ain't on milvado. You don't really need the tzaddikim even. You just need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Magid said, you were relying too much on my bracha. You don't need my bracha, you just need Hashem. And when you realize that, that opened up the channels of bracha. And this family was able, this husband and wife were blessed. They were able to have a ben zachar. And I was thinking, maybe in some very small way, that's part of the message that Hashem is sending us. That there's going to come a time, like it says at the end of Maseches Sota, the Mishnah that describes the ikvus of the Mashiach, where ein lanu al milahi she'ein el avinu shebashamayim. Not that God forbid, and I'm saying this so carefully, I'm trying to at least, not that God forbid we stop relying and hoping and trusting in the tzaddikim, of going to the Magid of Mezrich to get a bracha, of going to draw on the strength of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I promise you, Klal Yisrael are going to be back in Meiron next Lag BaOmer, and they should be. But we also have to remember, as the Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Sota, that at the end of days, the world is going to go through such upheaval that we have to remind ourselves that on a certain level, Ein lanu al mi lahi she'ein ela avinu shebashamayim. There's literally no one we can rely upon. There's no one who can say Ani Hashem other than Hashem Himself. And there's nothing else that we can be certain about. Even the schus of a heilige tana like Rishon Bar Yochai couldn't protect us for some reason that we can never explain from such a horrific tragedy. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who decides how things go. And it doesn't matter what the rules are, it doesn't matter how you expect it to be. Ani Hashem, period. But however, I want to add one qualifying statement to that. Because there's a sense of yeyush that a Klal Yisrael feels. How could it be that in the place of such simcha, there's such a velus? How does such a thing happen? It almost makes you want to give up. It almost makes you feel like nothing we do ever matters. If Lag BaOmer, if the biggest celebration of Klal Yisrael is taking place in the presence on the day of the Holy Tzaddik, a place that is described in the Sfarim HaKadoshim as Oz V'Chedva B'Mkomo B'Gematria Meiron, and a place that's supposed to be nothing other than pure Simcha, turns into Avelis. So it's almost like, why should we bother trying? So let's just sit back and wait for Hashem to say, Ani Hashem. Why should I even try to better myself? Why should I try to daven? Why should I try to be connected if all my dreams are going to be crushed anyways? If Hashem is always going to operate in a way that we can't understand, so why bother trying? So, Chevra, I want to teach you something that Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, which only Rav Chaim Volozhiner could say. We could never say such a thing without a tzaddik saying such a thing. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in his Kovetz Ma'amarim, the Igros, brings this idea, an amazing idea, from the Baal Nefesh HaChaim, from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. I just quoted to you a moment ago that Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota, that in the Ikvas of the Mashiach, in the end of days, before Mashiach comes, when the world is falling apart, the Mishnah says, Ein lanu al mi lehi she'ein el avinu shem ha-shamayim. There's no one to rely upon except for Hashem. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said the following thing. If you open up that Mishnah in Maseches Sota, it's a list of everything that's going wrong with the world. So for example, the Mishnah says, right? The Mishnah says that the world is going to be overturned in so many ways. Young people are going to rebel against their elders. And there's going to be all sorts of scandals in leadership. And there's going to be a rejection of God-fearing people. Yirei chet yim asu. God-fearing people are going to be despised. It's going to be such a backwards world. Everything's going to be overturned. It's not going to make any sense. The financial markets are going to be out of control. Dogecoin is going to be worth more than the U.S. Mint or whatever. We're going to live in crazy times, totally absurd times. Everything's going to be vinahafachu. And then the Mishnah ends off with a word. The simple way to learn the Mishnah is the Mishnah ends off with a word of chizuk. What's the chizuk that it ends off on? And despite the fact that it feels like everything is out of control, anu ein lanu li she'ein el alvinu shavashamayim. But don't worry, we have something stable in our life. We have Hashem. Chevra, listen to this. It should make your whole body shake. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, that last line in the Mishnah is also part of the things that are wrong with the world in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. It's not all these things are falling apart, the world is broken, and therefore there's nothing we can do other than sit back and cry ourselves to sleep at night, hoping that Hashem will save us. But God forbid, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I know it's going to feel like that, but God forbid to get to a point where you give up and you say, there's nothing I can do to help other than to what? Than to rely on Hashem to save us. That's part of the klala at the end of days. That's called yayush. That's utter despair. When a Jew feels like, you know what? If even Meron was taken away from us, if Lag Ba'Omer is taken away from us, then I'm just done. I'm not going to try. I'm going to sit back and wait for Hashem to say, Ani Hashem. And then probably everything will make sense. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, no. This Mishnah is a list of things that are broken during the Ikvas of the Mashiach. And therefore, it's a brokenness of Klal Yisrael. It's a yeyush that's inappropriate for us to say, there's nothing I can do other than to rely on Hashem. Because the same way that Hashem created the world, with us as His partners, Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. And as David HaMelech said, again, words that we could never have said on our own. Tnu oz le'lokim, give strength to Hashem. As broken as we are, as pained as we are, you don't think Hashem is more pained. And therefore, it's our job to what? To not sit back and throw up our hands and say, there's nothing I can do to help. And there's nothing I can do other than to rely on Hashem to figure this all out. As much as it seems like our efforts have been rebuffed over and over again, we have to keep trying. We have to keep trying. And for those who have weddings to go to today, you have to go and you have to be besimcha in a real way. And you can be sad at the same time in your heart. It's not a stira. By a Jewish heart, that's stira. But we can't allow ourselves to think that nothing we can do matters to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So friends, let's learn one final Torah idea today. Let's end one final idea. Let's go back to this past Shabbos' parsha. And let's get a really strong piece of chizik from Rav Schwab, from Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rav Schwab, in his Sefer Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeva, asked the following question. And if you were paying attention to the laning, it should mamish jump out at you. It's such a strange thing. And Rashi, of course, notices it, but Rav Schwab has such a unique explanation. The Torah is going through, in Parshas Emor, it's going through the holidays. Right? Eila Moadei Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikru Asam B'Moadam. It goes through Pesach, and then it talks about Sfiras HaOmer, and then it talks about Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. But maybe you noticed, very unusually, very strangely placed, right before Rosh Hashanah, between Shavuos, which is kind of where we're up to now, the end of the Omer and Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, a couple of psukim, uvekutzrechem es ketzir artzechem, when you're reaping and you're harvesting your field, lo sechaleh pa'as sadcha bekutzrecha, don't finish off your entire field, right? Veleket ketzircha lo selaket, leave peah, leave a corner of your field for the poor. The stalks that you drop or leave behind, you have to leave for the poor. Uvekutzrechem es ketzir artzechem, lo sechaleh pa'as sadcha. Make sure you leave a portion of your produce for the poor. Why is that there? So maybe the Pashup Shot is something to do with harvesting, maybe something to do with gathering things, something to do with, I don't know, Shavuos maybe. Very strange. Rashi comments, Rav Schwab quotes it here. Rashi brings from the Medrash, from Toras Kohanim. Amar Rav Avdimi Rabbi Yossi, Ma'ra ha'kosov litnum be'emtza ha'ragalim. Why all of a sudden does it talk about ma'anos aniyam, gifts for the poor, in the middle of describing the Jewish holiday season? Pesach, Atzeres, Mikan, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mikan. It talks about Pesach, it talks about Shavuos. Then in the middle it talks about gifts for the poor, and then it goes back on the other side, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, v'chulu. It comes to teach us, Shekol hanosein leket shechav upeya la'ani kara'oi. If you give gifts to the poor, as is appropriate, malin olav ki'ilu bono beis hamikdash v'hikriv olav karbonosav b'socho. It's as if you built the beis hamikdash, and it's as if you brought what? It's as if you brought all the karbonos in the beis hamikdash. What? I mean, that's a nice idea. Giving tzedakah is like building the beis hamikdash and offering karbonos. That's nice. What is that? How does that answer the question? Why is it placed precisely between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? V'tmua ma inyan mitzvos leket shecha upeya etzel binyan beis hamikdash. And what is it? Just like we read, you know, Rashi in this week's parsha on Bahar, ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. What does shmita have to do with har Sinai? So same thing here. What does leket peya shechacha? What does that have to do with binyan beis hamikdash? And why? How does that answer? Why is it written in the middle of the Jewish holidays? So Rav Schwab has such a deep secret that he reveals to us. Rav Schwab says, Chevra, think about it for a second. There's a holiday on the list that's missing. You don't think of it as a holiday, because right now it's not a holiday, but Vina Hafachu, it's going to become the biggest holiday. And that is Tisha B'Av. What happens between Shavuos and when we get back to, you know, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, we have the summer. And what happens in the summer? Tisha B'Av. There's a holiday that we're going to celebrate in the future. The holiday of what? The holiday of Tisha B'Av. The holiday of Tisha B'Av. That's right, it's going to be a holiday. As the Navi Zechariah predicts, that the Tzom HaRavi'i, the fast of the fourth month, Vitzom HaChamishi, and the fast of the fifth month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Tisha B'Av, the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month. It's going to become a moed. Tisha B'Av is going to go from being our darkest day to being our most celebratory day. And therefore, just like the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Kishiyavo ben David v'yigalenu b'mehira, Yibane hamikdash hashlishi betes lechodesh menachem av. It's going to be a nechama. Tisha B'Av is going to become a day of nechama. V'tiel l'sason u'lesimcha u'liyomtov. V'na hafachu. Like the Medrash says in Eicha, Tisha B'Av is the day that Mashiach is going to be born. Tisha B'Av is the day, says Rav Schwab, that the Beis HaMikdash, that Bayis Shlishi, is going to take place. What does any of that have to do with Leket, Shechacha, and Peah? I understand the placement now. I understand Rashi says that if you give Leket, Shechacha, and Peah, it's like you built the Beis HaMikdash and brought the Karbanos. So that's a hint to Tisha B'Av. When we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash again, we'll be able to bring Karbanos again. But what does it have to do with gifts to the poor? So, Chevra, listen carefully. V'habayis ha-shlishi. That bayis shlishi, which is going to be built by Mashiach ben David. Hine Megillas Rus melamedes osanu shebizchus kia mitzas lechet v'shichecha al yidei boaz nizdav golo Rus. Where does David come from? David HaMelech, Mashiach, comes from David. David comes from Rus. Rus joined the Klal Yisrael through the generosity, through the sensitivity of Boaz. That Boaz took care of this poor woman, this poor stranger. And it's through Rus attaching herself to Boaz through the mitzvos of Leket and Shechecha, as Rus is gleaning in Boaz's field, as we'll read about on Shavuos, we remind ourselves that in some way, David, Mashiach ben David, David ben Yishai, Mashiach ben David, the base of Mikdash, it all comes from what? It all comes from that sensitivity. Nimsa shekol ha'inyan hischil b'kiyam ha'shanem ar v'kutzrechem es ketzir artzechem v'leket ketzir chalos alakeh. It all starts, Mashiach is put into motion in many ways by what? By looking out for a downtrodden Jew. Or looking out for a downtrodden non-Jew. Right? Rus. The story of Rus is so strange. This Moabite princess. Alach has kama v'kama for a downtrodden Jew. V'amra Torah pasuk zeh dafka bein shvuas l'Rosh Hashanah. So therefore the Torah placed so precisely, remarkably, these psukim about Leket and Shechecha and Peah right between Shvuas and Rosh Hashanah. L'rameh shela'asid lavo, that in the future Hashem is going to insert a Yom Tov that is hachi gadol bein atzeres Rosh Hashanah. The biggest Yom Tov is going to come during these days. And that's what Chazal are hinting to. L'lamedcha, shekol hanosein leket shicha upeya la'ani kara'oi malin olav ki'ilu bana beis hamikdash v'hikrav olav karbanos besocho. A person who shows sensitivity for a downtrodden Jew, it's as if you built the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to bring us back to Bayis Shlishi. And with this as our Schwab, we can understand something else. A very, very strange Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tanis. The Mishnah says, Ulaor ze efshar lahavin, the Mishnah at the end of Tanis. Amar Rishum ben Gamliel, lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael, ketuba'a v'kiyom ha-kipurim. Chever, you know this Mishnah? The two greatest Jewish holidays are what? Are Yom Kippur, okay, that makes sense, and Tu B'Av. The Gemara says, Yom Kippur, we know what that is. That's the day of Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. What is Tuba? The Gemara doesn't even know what it is. The Gemara assumes we don't know what it is. What happened on that day? And the Gemara gives a whole list of great things that happened on that day. But it's such a celebratory day that the Mishnah tells us, Shebehen benos Yerushalayim yotzeis b'chlei lavan she'ulin, that the Jewish girls of Yerushalayim, they go out wearing borrowed white clothing, and they go out, yotzos v'cholos b'kramim, so strange. It seems like such a breach of tznius. But the Jewish women, they dress up and they go out to the vineyards and they're dancing around. Umahayu omros, and what do they say? Bachur, young men. Sana einecha. Check us out. Take a look. Lift up your eyes. Ure'e ma'ata borlecha. And see what is desirable to you. Find a spouse. Mixed dancing on Yom Kippur. That makes a lot of sense, no? Very strange, these women dancing in the fields. In the middle of Yom Kippur, what? Like that short break that some shuls have between like Musaf and Mincha. So they go out to the vineyards and they have a dance party. It's extremely strange. But the women call out and they say, young men, take a look. Find a mate. Al titein einecha benoi. Once they have the attention of the young men, they say, don't look at our physical beauty. Tein einecha v'mishpacha. Look at our yichus. Right? Look at our righteousness. Try to choose a mate based on more than physical attraction. Asher kol ha'lo meid yitama, anyone who reads this Mishnah is very perplexed by it. Shebishlam ha'biyom ha'kippurim, I can understand, even this is hard to understand, but says Rav Schwab, I can understand on Yom Kippur, that when the Jewish people are on the level of angels, and we're fasting, and we're dressed in white, so maybe somehow we could do such a thing that the Jewish women are calling out to the men, Bachar sa'einecha, young man, take a look at me. Maybe he can look at her in a way that's not perverse, in a way that's not overly sexualized. Aval betuba'av, amai lo chashu leheruhuri avera. Says Rav Schwab, let me just be honest for a second. Are we not concerned as the Jewish women are flaunting themselves, dancing in front of the men? Right. No mechitza, nothing? Are we not concerned with heruhuri avera? Are we not concerned with lewd thoughts? Isn't this immoral? What's going on here? Yom Kippur, maybe we're on such a high madriga, we could do such a thing. What about Tu B'Av? So explains Rav Schwab, a very, again, amazing ideas. Rav Schwab says, maybe we're talking about the Tu B'Av, we're talking about the Yom Tov of La'asid Lavo. We're talking about what? We're talking about Yom HaShvi'i Shel Chanukas HaMikdash HaShlishi. We're talking about the seventh day after what? After Tisha B'Av. We're talking about the inauguration, the completion of the inauguration of Bayis Shlishi. And maybe when Bayis Shlishi is finally firmly in its place, we'll be Mavatal the Eight Sahara in such a way that even this type of simcha, where the Jewish women are dancing in front of the men, such a simcha is Me'ein, the simcha of Bayis Shlishi, and there'll be a time in the world history where we have such a clarity in Hashem that there's no Satan and there's no Pegara, there's no concern for, God forbid, for misplaced thoughts. And Rav Schwab concludes the piece, as that Mishnah concludes. The Mishnah says, V'cheinu omer tse'enu ure'enu b'no Sion, b'melech Shlomo. Look and see, daughters of Tzion. Look at King Shlomo, ba'atara she'itralo imo, wearing the crown that his mother crowned him with. Biyom chasunaso uviyom simchas libo. On the day of his wedding, and on the day of the rejoicing of his heart. And says the Mishnah, B'yom chasunaso, on the day of his wedding, is a reference to Matan Torah, and Yom Simchas Libo is the day of Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mehera B'yameinu. Yom chasunaso, on the day of his wedding, is the day of Kabbalah Satorah. Rashi writes an amazing thing. Rashi says, you know what day that's talking about? It's talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of Kabbalah Satorah. That's right, yes. It's Yom Matan Luchos Shnios, Rashi explains. Yom Kippur was the day that Moshe came down with the second Luchos. So what's Yom Simchas Libo? What's Yom Simchas Libo? Says the Mishnah, it's the day of building Beis HaMikdash. But says Rav Schwab, if the day of Kabbalah Satorah is a reference to Yom Kippur, then maybe the day of building Beis HaMikdash or solidifying Beis HaMikdash is a reference to Tu B'Av, the day that we complete the Chanukah's Bayis Shlishi. Vazem Aramezes HaMishnah. And that's what the Mishnah is hinting to when it says, Binyan Beis HaMikdash Sheyibana B'Mehera B'Yameinu. But it's all put into motion. It's hinted to us in this past Shabbos' Parsha, the Parsha of Emor. It's hinted to us, Mamish, during these days as we approach Shavuos, and then we have to move on from Shavuos into the darkness of the summer months, which sometimes, again, are filled with 3 weeks of pain. But it's a tefillah, it's an opportunity for us to say, you know what? If we show sensitivity to Jews who are down and out, if we're able to pick up a Jew who's been knocked down emotionally by this awesome tragedy, right? And that's exactly where Mashiach comes from sensitivity to a Jew who's not as fortunate as you, but feeling the pain of another Jew. To leave something over in the field for someone who's just not doing as well as you are. It's that sensitivity that puts Rus and Boaz together and brings out a David and brings out a Mashiach. That's where Bayis Shlishi comes from. So, Chevra, on the one hand, I think part of the message is, again, like the Maggid of Mezrich was teaching that couple. You don't need my bracha, you only need Hashem's bracha. And there's a simple truth to that Mishnah at the end of Sota. Ein lanu almi lahi she'ein el avinu shebashamayim. There's no one who can help us. There's no one who can protect us other than Hashem. Only Hashem has the answers. Ani Hashem, I make the rules and I break the rules. If Paro can do it, like Rav Teichtel told us, then there's no question Hashem can sometimes make new rules that are very hurtful to us, but he can also make new rules that are able to save us, even if we're not quite ready for the Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim when we weren't ready, and Hashem can bring Mashiach when we're not ready. But at the same time, like the Nefesh HaChaim said, it's also a klala to throw up your hands and say, apparently nothing we do matters, because anytime we try to take a step forward, Hashem pushes us backwards. It's not true. We have to continue to do our part, to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that we help Hashem to build the Bayis Shlishi, again, is what we learned here from Rav Schwab, by showing sensitivity to one another, by being able to look out for a Jew who's going through a hard time. And right now, there are a lot of Jews, a lot of Jews going through a really, really impossibly hard time. And we have to make sure that while we continue to move forward and build, and like I said, if you have a wedding, and there's a lot of weddings coming up after Lag BaOmer, and there's a lot of smachot, and we have to be able to celebrate those simchas with a real sense of simcha, not to take away from a person's simcha, and at the same time to carry that awesome pain of this loss in our hearts, and try to slowly start to heal as a Klal Yisrael, and to be able to provide support for those Jews who need our chizuk at this time. But Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away all of the pain of Klal Yisrael. And we should see this for real. We should see it for real this summer. We always say, you know, this summer, you know, Amir Tzashem, this summer, Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov. Maybe for real this time. Maybe for real this time. We never know. Hashem's the only one who knows. But let's daven. Let's daven that maybe for real this time we'll be zochet to see the Gula. B'mehir b'yamin, amen.